Good evening. This is the Building Zion conference call. Every week we talk about review some of the quotes from early LDS apostles about Zion and its various aspects. And you'll find a huge list of our calls you can listen to on buildingzion.org. In the menu, it's under Zion conference calls, Sunday conference calls. Also on the site, I write a monthly article, just published number 46, called Thoughts on Zion, in a local newspaper here in South Utah County, and I've been doing that for 46 months. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. So you can read that there. Tonight, the quotes have to do with cooperation. And as I was going through all the 500-plus quotes I found studying building Zion or establishing Zion in that early period, the one subcategory that I kept running into and built a whole spreadsheet page on it of different quotes was about the concept of cooperation. And most of these quotes, in fact, all of them, are from the one decade in Utah's history where the church was just going gangbusters building cooperatives. And ZCMI being the most, Zion's Cooperative Mercantile Institute being the most, the best known. And let's see. One of the to tie this into building Zion, there's a couple of quotes here that I'll start out with. The first one is from George Albert Smith in 1870, and I kind of titled it "Cooperation Helps Build Zion." So this is the quote. In February 1831, just after the organization of the church, we received a revelation through Joseph Smith commanding the members of the church to let the beauty of their garments be the workmanship of their own hands. This revelation was given almost 40 years ago, but slowly, very slowly, we have advanced in fulfilling it. I realize the reason of this when reflecting upon the great work to be done in molding the children of God, gathered from the various nations and denominations with all their prejudices, traditions, and varied habits of living, they come here filled with ideas averse to those of God and differing from each other. And under these circumstances, it is difficult for them to arrive at a oneness in their associations. To use an expression common amongst us at the present, it is difficult for them to cooperate to build up Zion in the last days. You'll notice, if you haven't listened to any of the recordings until now, you'll notice that he started talking started this quote off by talking about, you know, making our own garments. The one thing that became very clear to me as I studied these 500 quotes is that to them, and in the 1800s, building Zion was an economic activity. As I've mentioned before, the brethren talked about essentially three pillars of a God-directed society. The church was the religious pillar. The kingdom of God was the political pillar, and Zion was the economic pillar. And I know that's a shock to a lot of people who've never heard that idea before. They assume Zion was some kind of ephemeral, happy society kind of thing, and had no idea that it was more of an economic order. So here's Apostle Erastus Snow 4 years later, 1874, along the ideas of cooperation helps build Zion. The United Order of Zion, proposed for our consideration. And I assume, I didn't look it up, but I assume he's talking about ZCMI. That would be about that time. So the United Order of Zion proposed for our consideration is a grand, comprehensive, cooperative system designed to improve us who enter into it, financially, socially, morally, and religiously. It will aid us, as Latter-day Saints, in living our religion and in building up Zion. So this subcategory I've labeled cooperation as a stepping stone to Zion. And after this next quote I'll read, there's four or five quotes where they specifically come out and say that. This next quote, though, is John Taylor, a couple of years after Brigham died. And he's basically promising that if we engage these cooperative enterprises that they were building at the time, that the saints would prosper. And if they didn't, they wouldn't. And here's the quote. But I will promise the Latter-day Saints that if they will go into these cooperative enterprises, allowing God to dictate in the interests of Israel and in the building up of his Zion on the earth, and take themselves and their individual interests out of the question, in other words, doing it for the benefit of all rather than for their own personal benefit, feeling they are acting for him and his kingdom, they will become the wealthiest of all people. And God will bless them and pour out wealth and intelligence and all the blessings that earth can afford. But if you will not, you will go downward and keep going the downward road to disappointment and poverty in things spiritual as well as temporal. I dare prophesy that in the name of the Lord. End quote. Okay, these next five quotes specifically come out and say that cooperation is a stepping stone. In fact, I've mentioned this before. This is a good place to repeat it. If you ponder the different decades that the church has been in existence, the first five or six, they were experimenting economically. And the church went from what I call telestial level economics, which is what we live in today, and under Joseph Smith, in the original law of consecration, attempted to jump from the telestial level up to the celestial level, and the saints couldn't handle it, so they dropped back down to the telestial level. And in beginning in the 1850s, in fact, in 1850, Brigham was tempted. He didn't do it, but he was tempted to try it again. And they waited until and saw the rise of cooperatives and thought, hey, this cooperative thing, it's a stepping stone to the Order of Enoch, which would be the highest level. So if it's between the telestial and the celestial, it must be a terrestrial level. And so then the saints, especially in the 1870s, this period that we're, most of these quotes are from, the saints were going gangbusters with the cooperatives. It was a huge success. There were all sorts of cooperatives, both what you might call private and then church-sponsored cooperatives. In fact, during the 1870s, the vast majority of businesses were part of the Zion Cooperative Mercantile Institute network. So after about 10 years of doing the cooperatives and it going so well, Brigham thought, okay, maybe the saints are ready. He probably should have waited another 20 years and let the principles of cooperation sink into the psyche and culture of the saints. But a recession came, and he thought, okay, here's our chance. Let's go ahead and try to step it up a level, up to the celestial level. And that's when he introduced the United Orders in every community throughout Deseret. And sadly, within 2 years, like 80% of them failed. And so then Brigham died. And so John Taylor coming in, very gung-ho, gangbusters for this economic unity, instead of letting it drop back down to the telestial level, he stepped in with his Zion Central Board of Trade and set one up in every stake. And the point of that board was to create cooperatives in order to employ the people and create local self-reliance and as a stepping stone to the United Order, back up. So John Taylor was trying to keep the saints from dropping all the way back down to the telestial level economics. So here are these quotes. The first one is from, actually the first two are from an 18th General Conference, April General Conference in 1869, both by Brigham Young, from the same talk. This first one: "This cooperative movement is only a stepping stone to what the Lord called the Order of Enoch, but which is in reality the Order of Heaven." So that sounds pretty celestial, doesn't it? He saw the cooperative movement as a stepping stone to it. Then later in the talk, he says, "I want to say a few words still further to the people with regard to their faith in temporal things. If the people called Latter-day Saints do not become one in temporal things," and again, remember, in their day, they didn't use the word economic like we use it. They used the word temporal. So you could replace temporal with economic. Let me back up. "If the people called Latter-day Saints do not become one in economic things as they are in spiritual things, they will not redeem and build up the Zion of God upon the earth. This cooperative movement is a stepping stone. We say to the people, take advantage of it. It is your privilege. Instead of giving it into the hands of a few individuals to make their hundreds and thousands of dollars, let the people generally enjoy the benefit arising from the sale of merchandise." In other words, let's have our buying and selling of merchandise benefit everybody rather than a few merchants. So again, stepping stone. Then Wilford Woodruff, 1873, so he's an apostle at that time. "We must give our earnest support to cooperation, for it is a step in advance towards the establishment of the Order of Enoch and the building up of Zion, of the Zion of God." So there's an apostle also saying it. So John Taylor, 1 year after Brigham dies, says, "What was the principle of cooperation intended for? Simply as a stepping stone for the United Order. That is all. That we might be united and operate together in the interest of building up Zion." Then a year later, he talks about the same kind of thing. He doesn't actually use the word stepping stone, but it's written all over it between the lines. "We will strive to become one, and if we cannot go so far as to sustain cooperation in regards to these things, how in the name of common sense are we ever going to get going into the United Order? But we will begin with this," meaning cooperation, "and then cooperate in all the different stakes, not only in your merchandising, but in your manufacturing affairs and in your producing affairs. And in everything, it will be the duty of this General Board of Trade," so he's introducing the Boards of Trade, "to regulate the interests of the whole community honestly and faithfully. At least we will do it according to the best ability we have. And if there should any mistakes arise, we will try to correct them. If they are on the part of the people, we will talk to them about it. If on the part of the institution," meaning the Boards of Trade, I think, "we will talk to its management about it. And we will keep working and operating until we succeed in introducing and establishing these things that God has desired. And until Zion shall be a united people and the glory of all the earth." Then the next subcategory and the last two quotes I've got for you today, I classified under unity through cooperation. And this is kind of the whole point of the cooperative movement. The first one is Apostle George Albert Smith, or George A. Smith, sorry, in 1873. We are looking forward to the day when we shall return to Jackson County. The time will come when the Latter-day Saints will build in Independence, Missouri, a holy city. That will one day be the center stake of Zion, the center spot of the New Jerusalem, which God is to build on this land. We can only be prepared for that work by being united. Can we not unite a little in building a temple, in contributing a tenth of all our substance to that work? Can we not unite it a little in erecting a factory, in establishing a store? Can we not learn, step by step, the principle of unity, which will enable us to be the people of God, like the Zion of Enoch, and prepare us for a dwelling with the blessed? Let us consider these things, and sustain with all our powers all the efforts that are made to bring about a unity among the saints. Every step we take of this kind is in the right direction. Sustain our cooperative stores and cease to sustain those who do not build up Zion. So he's making it very clear that economic unity is a precursor or a step on the way to becoming the people of God, like the city of Enoch. So then John Taylor, in 1879, 2 years after Brigham died, he said, "We have, for instance, Zion's Cooperative Mercantile Institution. It is called the parent institution, and it ought to be the parent of all these institutions and act as a father and a protector and a benefactor, doing all it can to promote the welfare and the prosperity of the people. And then the people, on the other hand, ought to protect it and sustain it by doing their business through that institution and act prudently, wisely, orderly, and unitedly in regards to these matters, that we may be one. For our revelations tell us, if we are not one, we are not the Lord's." So all of these quotes talk about how cooperation is the stepping stone. It helps us prepare us to build Zion, will lead us to prosperity, and help us accomplish the unity we need. In this last quote, John Taylor's encouraging the saints to support and sustain ZCMI, which at the time wasn't what you remember it being when the last time you shopped there before it got sold to Macy's. At the time, Zion's Cooperative Mercantile Institution was a cooperative. It was a clearinghouse, essentially, for local production. One of the topics that I found as I was reading was a strong desire of the brethren trying to get the people on a family basis to produce whatever goods that family could produce. And each family was to take their locally produced products that were surplus to the ward or community's ZCMI. And so their surplus was sold there. And if it wasn't sold locally, they would ship it to the central ZCMI in Salt Lake City to be shipped back east and sold. And with that money, they would buy products that the saints weren't producing at the time and bring those back for sale through the ZCMI network. So it was essentially a producers and consumer cooperative in one. And this is what I and some others of us are working to create, essentially following the pattern of Brigham City, what Lorenzo Snow did in Brigham City, and that is creating a central cooperative, a marketing cooperative, a producers cooperative, where products that we produce ourselves are marketed, and obviously with the long-term intent of funding an effort to build Zion prep communities, if you want to call them that, communities based in a cooperative free enterprise. in Brigham City, it worked so well, and I've mentioned this several times before, that they achieved, and I quote, 85% self-sufficiency. They produced 85% of the consumer products that they needed in their community. And of course, in those days, they didn't have iPhones. You know, they were producing belts and hats and bonnets and shoes and jeans. But everybody, by the time Brigham City had been going 10 years, or after 10 years from Lorenzo Snow setting up that first cooperative, marketing cooperative, they would put the profits back into setting up other people who had skills into a cooperative, and that cooperative would sell its goods through the central cooperative. And ZCMI was patterned after the Brigham City cooperative network, but it was meant to service the entire state of Deseret from Canada down to Mexico. And so after 10 years of operating in Brigham City, they went from one cooperative to, I don't remember how many, but everyone in town who was employed worked for one of the cooperatives. There were like 1,000, mostly brethren, who worked in the co-ops, and all the co-ops sold their goods through the central cooperative. And like I say, 85% of their consumer goods were produced locally. You can't get a more independent, economically independent society than that, or there has never been one that we know of on record. Perhaps the city of Enoch was, but and this community, there was a worldwide recession in 1871, I believe it was, 72, somewhere in there. And Brigham City just floated right through it. They hardly even noticed because they were economically independent. And this push towards, in our modern society, quote, modern society, this push towards global economics is the exact opposite of that. We are extremely dependent on everyone else, everywhere else. And if they ever become unwilling or unable to sell their goods, then we have to do without. So it makes sense to me and others that we follow this pattern and start producing essentially a backup economy. Babylon can't last forever, and I use that term Babylon in the exact same way that the Brethren did in the mid-1800s. When they said Babylon, they were referring to the economy of the United States of America. So we can't, according to Revelation and other, I think Jeremiah or Ezekiel, Babylon will fall. It's prophesied to fall. It has to fall. It's going to fall. And anyone who's studied the American economic system closely knows that we're one week of trucker strike away from massive need in our economy. Communities, very large cities like, you know, New York, Chicago, Dallas, all their food has to be brought in on a daily basis for the people who live there. They're very dependent. And the Lord wants us to be independent, wants us to be able to stand independent of all things upon the face of the earth. That's in the Doctrine and Covenants. So it makes sense to us that we start and follow this example. So we're working together to try to figure out how to set up a marketing cooperative to sell goods that we produce, and I think we'll probably expand beyond what we can produce and work together to bring in goods at reasonable prices that everybody needs. You know, everybody buys laundry detergent. Well, everyone I know buys laundry detergent. So it makes sense to for our co-op to source those kinds of products that everyone buys and provide them through the cooperative. And eventually, so just like in Brigham City, some of the profits of the initial marketing cooperative will be used to buy productive capital, so machinery, equipment, to set people up in other cooperatives, which then sell their goods through the central one. And following their same pattern, we can end up with similar benefits. So, those are the quotes we have for today. Cooperation, stepping stone to Zion. And we invite anybody who's interested in participating in that kind of cooperative. Let's see, how would you find us? Our Zion Society Facebook group is a private group, so perhaps you could contact me, Jesse Fisher, through buildingzion.org, or send me an email at jesse@buildingzion.org, and we'll add you to the group. Alrighty, that's all I have today. Let me see.
I just got here and...
Oh, where have you been this time? You missed the good part.
I know, I'm sorry. I heard, well, that's all the quotes I have for today. So,
it's a really good one. I'll give you one that kind of summarizes the whole thing.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming. Let's see, which one? Here we go. So, okay, I'll read to you. Ready? Wilford Woodruff, 1873. We must give our earnest support to cooperation, for it is a step in advance towards establishing the order of Enoch and the building up of Zion of God. So they're talking about, this was in the 1870s, and they had just launched the ZCMI network, which was more than just a store. And they were encouraging the saints over and over again, these cooperatives, you need to support them because it's a stepping stone to Zion, to the United Order. In fact, Brigham Young said that, 1869, this cooperative movement is only a stepping stone to what is called the Order of Enoch, but which is in reality the Order of Heaven. So, and there were some other quotes. Cooperation helps to build Zion. Cooperation will lead us to prosperity, and if we don't, we'll go down to disappointment and poverty, temporally as well as spiritually. And then a couple of quotes about how unity is achieved through cooperation. And then I gave a big long pitch on the cooperative, the Building Zion Co-op, where working to establish. I see Barry has made a post here, and in the process of talking about this, I explained about how John Taylor set up Zion Boards of Trade in every stake. He was attempting to keep the saints on the cooperative level after Brigham's attempt to shift them to the celestial level failed in the late 1870s. So Barry posted, I'm thinking that the Zion Board of Trade would function much as the Federal Reserve functions in Babylon, and then some. In fact, it actually functions more like the Mondragon Cooperative Network's banking system in northern Spain. The banks in the Mondragon Cooperative Network, and that, in fact, if you don't, you know, to our listeners who are listening after the fact, if you'll go look that up on Wikipedia or wherever, you'll discover that the Mondragon network of cooperatives is this hugely successful cooperative network that puts us Mormons to shame, in my opinion. Their banks in their cooperative network, they have their own banks. I don't know if they're independent of the International Monetary Fund. I have no idea. But anyway, their banks serve more like a Zion Board of Trade in that they help set people up in business, in cooperatives, worker-owned cooperatives. They provide consulting to those co-ops to help them succeed. They do provide funding. So they're more of a hands-on, we're going to help you succeed kind of deal, which is what the boards of trade were. And John Taylor set them up. And if you're not familiar with the boards of trade, I know I'd never heard of them until I was 50-something. If you'll read about that on Wikipedia, I wrote the article there on it after doing the research. The boards of trade in Deseret were set up for the same purposes. So training, they were set up to set these cooperatives, to actually go out and assess the needs of the community and decide, okay, we have these underutilized resources over here, and we have this need here among the saints in order to achieve independence. And so they, as successful businessmen, they would set up, under John Taylor's direction, they would set up cooperatives in order to give the people employment, gainful employment, and help strengthen the local economy. So yeah, I thought about, you know, in pondering, okay, what can we do now in preparation, going back the other direction, trying to get up off the telestial level of economics to at least the terrestrial. My, you know, one thought was, okay, let's do what Lorenzo Snow did in Brigham City and set up a co-op. But the other thought was, you know, maybe we need to set up one of these Zion boards of trade with and do it like John Taylor did, instead of having it run by the ecclesiastical leaders, bishops and stake presidents, like Brigham had the United Orders done, which failed. John Taylor sought out the most successful businessmen he could find in each, in the entire church and in each stake, and had them become the board of trade, people who, you know, had experience with establishing businesses. And so, you know, one thought was, okay, let's set up the co-op, a marketing co-op, and start it that way. And another thought was, you know, maybe we should create a board of trade. And I think those of us who are engaged in this, creating this first co-op, are essentially functioning as the board of trade right now. I asked one of the most talented businessmen I know. I pitched the idea to him, and he didn't have the spirit of Zion, apparently, as like I had hoped he would. And he is doing great works with his money, his wealth. I don't know. Maybe we'll attract some people after we get going that are successful in business and have that kind of experience, and we can launch one of those as well. So, we're feeling our way through this. Joyce, remind me, you're still with us, right?
Yes.
tell me again what your neighbor did with the fruit tree co-op she launched. Would you explain that again? I'm going to take notes this time, because there's some people in my ward that might have interest in doing the same kind of thing.
Yeah, she just posted and said basically, we know that there are a bunch of people in this ward who have fruit trees, nut trees, that sort of thing, who don't know how to take care of them, and the proceeds from these trees are being underutilized, and so let's coordinate our efforts and get the experts to help the ones who don't know, and let's all share the bounty.
So did they get into greater detail? Is like, who would actually, you know, how would it actually work?
Not yet. She's just,
they're just
putting
in the creation.
Yeah. It is. It's just in the creation stage. She's just putting it out there saying, all right, who would like to join up and, you know, take a class from Brother So-and-so and you know, get your trees in shape and share the wealth.
That's cool. I was, you know, I was at the Ward Christmas party the other night, sitting by a couple, and we were talking about, ended up talking about fruit trees and gardening, and she, I don't know if this was a point of contention between her and her husband or not, I don't know, but she, you know, wished they had put in a garden and some trees before they had their yard landscaped. They're retired. He was a contractor in Vegas and then sold their business and retired and moved here into my ward. And the vast majority of my ward are little cookie, well, they're not cookie cutter houses, but they're nice homes on small lots. And only the people on my street have more than, you know, a quarter of an acre. And, you know, she was bemoaning the fact that they didn't, you know, take that into account. And she, you know, agreed with President Kimball that it was pretty important to grow as much of our own food as we can. So I was thinking this morning, I was thinking, well, gosh, whatever that lady was doing in my sister's ward, maybe we could do that here in this ward and encourage people to plant fruit and nut trees in their yards, you know, make it part of their yards, and do the same kind of thing here. So maybe I'll propose that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, and I could copy and paste it and send it to you, her idea, you know, and then you can tweak it for your neighborhood.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to do that. I really struggle personally with the saints' lack of interest in, and there are a lot of saints who are interested in producing their own food. There are lots of them, but it seems, you know, every time I drive through Salt Lake, which I don't do very often, but every time I do, you know, from the highway, you can see miles and miles and miles of homes all smashed right next to each other. And I just wonder, what are all these people going to eat if things don't go well? I hope everybody, you know, takes it seriously, the idea of producing as much of their own food as they can.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a challenge on small lots, but, you know, you've been trying lots of different things yourself to be more self-sufficient in that area.
And
as I mentioned before, there's a family in California on a third of an acre grow all their own food, and have enormous amount of abundance to sell to their neighbors and in the local restaurants and stores. In fact, the whole family makes their living that way, off a third of an acre. So if they can do it, we can do it.
And as someone wisely said, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The next
so best now.
Time is today, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, it's hard to, and plus in my neighborhood, we're up on the mountain. We have heavy rock soils. It's very difficult to work. I've been amending for many years, and just spots are almost decent now. You know, if I had to do it over again, I would just forget amending the soil and make grow boxes.
Yeah.
Because the soil is just terrible.
Yeah, there's a family just a couple blocks from me that I love driving by their house on the way to the post office or the bank. They have these 4x4. I think I've mentioned this before. They have these 4x4 grow boxes out on the strip between their sidewalk and the street.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they have them tied into their automatic sprinkler system. So I think he says he has it on for 20 seconds a day or something. And they just have all this beautiful produce all around the thing. And when I stopped and chatted with them about it, wife came barreling out of the house and said, "Here, take some of this. Take some of this." And I'm like, "I'm growing food. I'm good." But she was, trying to get rid of it. They had so much food. I'm interested in doing that same kind of thing. I really think that in order to cooperate, that producing our own food, or as much of it as we can reasonably do, is kind of the foundation. It's kind of the foundation of a design community. You know, in the 1800s, when they were building all these co-ops, everyone was a farmer. I mean, unless you lived in the city, downtown, you were a farmer. I mean, 90% of people before 1910 or whenever it was were farmers, and today it's, 2%. And so we're extremely dependent on the system, and there are half a dozen ways that system could be interrupted easily. So it makes sense to me that in an effort to be Zion builders, we need to start with producing as much of our own food as we can. And then from that foundation of security, cooperate together on the production of consumer goods, manufacturing and distribution of consumer goods. So that's what we're up to. Oh, and I invited anybody interested in helping with setting up the cooperative or participating in it to contact me through my email, jesse@buildingzion.org. And that's all I've got for tonight.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it.
It's okay. You'll live. next week's, next week is the 11th. Next week, the quotes I have, and a lot of them are modern quotes. Half of them are modern quotes. I've titled it, "We Can Take the Initiative to Build Up Zion. It Is Up to Us."
I am not going to be able to make it next week. We have our steak fireside, and our choir is singing, so won't be there next week. But
all right, well, you can listen to it after.
To it. That's right.
Okay, cool. All righty. Well, I'm going to stop the recording, and we can continue to chat a little bit about the co-op. And we'll see everyone else next time.
Hello?